Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion time where today we're going to be talking about money is a magnifier. I was just talking with my daughter last night. We were talking about some messages that we've put out recently on these daily communion meditations about magnifying God. We gave the example of using a magnifying glass. When I was a kid, we would put my initials onto my baseball gloves with a magnifying glass. We would burn my initials or my name onto my baseball glove with a magnifying glass. And we talk about in the Psalms, it says to magnify God. To magnify is to make great. It's this Hebrew word, gadol, to make great, to make God's name great is what it talks about. I believe it's Psalms 34, talking about magnifying God, making his name great. And then we talked about yesterday about Psalms 35, 27 says to magnify God because he delights in the prosperity of his servant. And we were talking about this verse. I was talking about it with my daughter, and I said, really what it comes down to is that money is a magnifier. Money is an amplifier or a magnifier. It will make bigger whatever you're focused on in your life. Money is a magnifier. If you're focused on money and stressing and striving and toiling away and making money your primary focus, that will grow bigger. And you'll work to get ahead. You'll put people down to get ahead to make more money. Or we can make God our source and we can begin to magnify God. If you're a person who seeks to honor God and magnify God with your life, the money is just going to magnify that even more. We talked about the importance of getting rich on the inside. And she said, well, isn't God the source of money? I said, yes, if you read all through the Bible, you'll see that God wants to be the source of our prosperity that comes from him. He gives us richly all things to enjoy, that it comes from him. But he often has to take us through this process where we get rich on the inside first, because he's the true source of wisdom and knowledge and happiness and joy. And he gives us freely all things to enjoy. That's the pattern you'll see in scripture. But it doesn't happen immediately. He has to make us rich on the inside. He has to get us to stop seeking after the money and the stuff over here first. Because these are two completely opposite ways of living. And right after we were talking about this, I flipped open my Bible and I was reading before bed, and I just happened to be in my normal Bible reading on Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus is talking about this. You have to pick one. You can't serve two masters. You can either serve God or money, and money will magnify whichever one of those you are focused on. If your goal is to magnify God, when you get some money, it's only going to magnify that even more. When God begins to prosper you, it's only going to magnify his name even more. It's only going to increase your ability to do more good. But if we're solely focused on the money, getting the money will just magnify those issues even more that come with that. It will magnify the person that you are. And so I began to see that. And then we're going to take a look at Matthew chapter 6 and then Luke chapter 16, because that phrase is repeated, that you can't serve God and money. It's repeated in both of those gospels, but it's repeated with a little bit different context around it in the two passages. But if you're new to us here, the way we do these daily communion meditations, we usually start with our 30-day prayer challenge prayer, and then we take a couple minutes to go through the other half of prayer, to get still, to listen, to examine ourselves, leading us into our time of communion for today. So we're going to get started with the 30-day prayer challenge prayer. It's about a two-minute long prayer, mostly scripture coming from Ephesians chapter 1, and the prayer of Jabez coming from 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we'll go through the other half of prayer here. But Heavenly Father, I just pray for everybody who's watching or listening, and all their families, their friends, everybody connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. And Father, I just thank you. I thank you for releasing us from the darkness, transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Father, I just keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Father, we ask you to bless us, to bless our time here together today, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace and your love and your goodness and all you want to do in our lives, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. Father, we ask you to keep your hand on us. Help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. We ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. So we're going to go through the other half of prayer. First step, we've been released from the darkness, transferred into the light. We got to get positioned in the light first. Remember, it's forgiveness that releases us from the darkness, transfers us into the light. And so are there any areas where you need to just go to God and just receive his forgiveness? Whenever you go to him, you'll always be given that grace and mercy and forgiveness. So is there anything that you need to receive that forgiveness from him first? And then that forgiveness has to flow through us out into the world to other people. You know, our goal in the Abundant Life Blueprint, to magnify God, to make his name great in our lives, and to make other people great around us, to become the servant of many and make other people great around us. But forgiveness has to flow for us to be in the light to be able to make that happen. You know, when you're in the light, you can see the things that were tripping you up, that you were stumbling over. You can know which way to go. Darkness feels heavy, confusing, disorienting. We've been transferred into the light, but we have to release some things. What are those things? Maybe you're putting the pressure on yourself. You're beating yourself up, criticizing yourself, condemning yourself for the ways that you've missed it. How can you just let go of them? Just release them. Take that pressure off of yourself. And what about maybe in the last 24 hours, or maybe going back further if you haven't been doing this regularly? Just some ways that maybe you've been hanging on to things that people have done to you, and just releasing that. Say, you know what? I'm not going to hold that against them. Love keeps no record of wrong. I'm going to see them through the eyes of grace, just through the present moment of who they are right now. I'm going to let all that other stuff go. That's how we begin to position ourselves in the light. And then we're going to stay in the light. I think two ways we can do that. Number one, what are you grateful for? If you want to track along with us, you can just begin to write down on a piece of paper, what are some things that you're grateful for just over the last day? You can just look back over the last day, all that God has done in your life, and just writing a few things down. And then, what progress have you made? What steps forward did you take over the last 24 hours? What things did you get done? What things did you get accomplished? Ways that you saw God coming through? I believe you focus on releasing those things. Stop focusing on the darkness. Focus on what's going well and releasing those things. Staying in gratitude and focused on what's going well and how far you've come, rather than how far you still have to go. I believe that will keep you positioned in the light. And then we're going to go into our emotions. Our emotions are signals. They're feedback, letting us know what's going on in our heart and letting us know where we're putting our focus. Whether we're magnifying God, we're focused on him and making him bigger, or we're magnifying the problems in our life. Which one are we magnifying in our life? And our indicator of that is often peace. Peace will let us know which one we're magnifying. When we have this focus on God, that he's with me, he's for me, nothing's impossible for him, and we begin to magnify that in our lives, the problems begin to shrink. They begin to look smaller in comparison to God. But when we begin to focus on the problem and all the issues that are coming your way, you begin to focus on those and dwell on those and meditate on those. Those problems begin to get magnified and they begin to grow. And a lack of peace is often our indicator that we're wavering back and forth. Maybe we're looking at God, but we're looking at the problem and we're beginning to magnify that problem and make it bigger and bigger. A lack of peace is our indicator that we're doing that. A lack of peace is an indicator that we're not single-minded in our faith. And then how about your levels of joy over the last 24 hours? I like to think of joy as my indicator of presence, that I'm living in the present moment, and I'm aware of God's presence with me. when we begin to dwell on the past or live in regret or things that have happened in the past, or we begin to worry about an uncertain future, we can put our hope and our trust and our security in God's unfailing love for us, that nothing's impossible for him, that he's already gone ahead of us. He's rolled away our past. He's already gone ahead of us, and we can live in the present moment. And yes, it's good to look back and draw from the lessons we've learned and the things that have gone well, and to envision a bigger future, envision where God's leading you in your life. But then when we walk out our day, we got to execute in the present moment, aware of God's presence with us. And when you get more present, that joy begins to flow and God's grace begins to flow in your life. I like to think of presence as the grace table turner, that all these good things that God put on the inside of you, they begin to get unlocked. They begin to flow through you when you get more present. And joy is your indicator that that's happening. So if you look back over the last day, was there anything you were worried about, anything you were stressed about, anything that was causing you to get frustrated or sad or disappointed or lose your joy? And whatever those areas are, it's simply a matter of bringing them to God and receiving his forgiveness, because we're supposed to be casting all of our cares onto him, receiving that forgiveness, and then just simple gratitude. Thank you that you're with me, that you are more than enough. Help me tap into and to cultivate what you put on the inside of me and acknowledge what he did on the inside of you already, and to grow it and to see it flowing at higher levels in my life. I believe you'll pray that simple prayer. You'll see a shift literally in one day and how you respond when things come at you in your day. And then, what do you know to do over the next 24 hours? What are the things that you know to do? And there's two categories here. On one side, it's what are the things that need to get done? Might be some administrative things, things around the house, things in your workplace. And those are usually things that need to be done to be good stewards of where you are in the current level. And then, what do you want to do? So you have one side, what needs to get done, and then what do you want to do? What do you want to get done over the next day? And these are usually things that God is prompting and stirring in your life that are new and for the next level of where you're going. Maybe he's prompting you to study something, to look at something, to start some new project. And we have to have both of these. We got to be good stewards of where we currently are, but also continually moving in the direction God has for our lives. So what needs to get done? What do you want to get done? And that's about executing those things as you go about your day with that peace and that joy and confidence in God that he's with you. You don't have to do it on your own. You don't have to do it all by yourself and alone. He's there by your side, helping you to execute these things and to do more than you can do in your own strength. And then what are you learning? What's God been teaching you or showing you over the last 24 hours? And again, there's two areas on this one. One side is what corrections and adjustments is he having you make in what you're currently doing? If you'll stay tuned into him, he's constantly giving you little nudges and adjustments to things that you are currently doing. And those could be varied things, everything from your workouts to your nutrition, to your quiet time, to how you interact with people. He's giving you little adjustments to make, little corrections and adjustments to make in what you're currently doing. But then on the other side, he's trying to woo you and lead you to the spacious, beautiful place that's free from all restriction. And it's his voice that leads you out. And what's the direction? What are the new things and the new directions that he's prompting you in your life? And staying tuned into those as well. So we got to have both sides of these. What needs to get done? What do you want to get done? What little adjustments and corrections do you need to make? And then what are the new directions and the new things that he's teaching you on the other side? I believe you go through this process regularly, staying in the light, staying tuned into your emotions. They'll let you know some adjustments that need to be made in what's going on in your heart and your where you're putting your focus, executing the things that you know to do, both need to get done and that God is stirring for the next level. And you stay tuned into him and make the adjustments and follow his lead. It's going to lead you to a beautiful place. So like I said, I was talking with my daughter just last night. We were talking about this concept of which one are you magnifying in life? Are you magnifying chasing after the money and all of these types of things? Are you seeking to magnify God in our lives? Our standard in the Abundant Life Blueprint, our goal, our target in life is what? Is to magnify God in our lives, to make him great and to receive his grace, to let it flow through us so that we make other people Great. That's how we know that our lives are on track. That's different from the world system of stressing and striving after money. Their scoreboard is just how much money they make. Our scoreboard is magnifying God's name and making other people great. Two different scoreboards. Which one do you value more? So this is going to see seeking after the kingdom. That's what seeking after the kingdom is, magnifying God and making other people great. It's about people and relationships versus money. Two different ways of approaching things. So let's take a look at this in Matthew chapter 6 first. Starting in verse 19, Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now, one of the first things I wanted you to think about is Jesus says, store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. This is relationships. Now, we've often read this verse through a religious viewpoint of store up treasures in heaven where you can't touch them. You can't get to them. Well, we've already been transferred into the kingdom of heaven. You can begin to access these things by faith now. You can begin to access these things by faith now. Jesus says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. Now notice, we've been released from darkness. If we're focusing on what's going wrong, we're focusing on all the ways people have wronged us and living in that darkness, that place of confusion and heaviness in your spirit, not knowing which way to go and stumbling over everything because we're not in the light, then we're in an unhealthy place. But he says, if the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other. No one can serve two masters. Or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You have to make a choice. You can't do both. And the thing of it is, I told my daughter, I said, it's kind of a trick, I think. Because we're going to see here, Jesus says not to worry because you're going to be given clothes and food and the things that you need. If you seek God and you seek to magnify him in life, in your life, to follow his leading, to walk in love, to walk by faith, he's going to take you on this path, I believe, to make you fruitful, multiply you, increase you greatly. And he's going to make you rich on the inside first. And he's going to prove to you that he's trustworthy, that he's going to take care of you. But on the other side, this is like this empty side where we're just chasing after the money and the stuff and we never get rich on the inside. And you see all these people who have made a lot of money, but they're still miserable on the inside. This is the path that gets you both, but it's not going to happen immediately. It's going to take some time for it to play out. You look at the biblical examples of Joseph and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and David and the disciples, you see all these guys went on this path. It wasn't just like they just stepped into it right away. Jesus says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Lives in Malachi, it talks about that people that are seeking God in their lives, that fear God, want to please him and honor him in their lives, that they would be his treasured possession. Not the birds, that we would be his treasured possession. Are we not more valuable than them? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? I think some version says, if you can't even do that little thing, why do you worry about the rest of it? Worrying doesn't do us any good. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. So the people that are not seeking after God, they're running after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need him. But what are you supposed to do? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. So we can seek him, and he adds the stuff to us. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So now we're going to look in Luke chapter 16. We got this phrase that appears again, where you can't serve God and money, but it's in a different context, in a different story. So in Luke chapter 16, starting in verse 1, it says, Jesus told his disciples, there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer. The manager said to himself, what shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into houses. Now notice, he's focused on relationship. He wasn't doing a good job. He's about to get fired. But he's saying, what can I do to still have a good relationship where people will welcome me into their houses? Because the relationships are the key. So he called in each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first one, how much do you owe my master? 900 gallons of olive oil, he replied. The manager told him, take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 450. So he cut it in half. Then he asked the second, how much do you owe? 1,000 bushels of wheat, he said. He told him, take your bill and make it 800. So he cut his bill down by 20%. Then the master commended the dishonest manager. He's like, wait a minute. He made deals with the people. Like, wait a minute, he cut down the price. The master didn't get everything he was supposed to get. Yeah, but he got his money. He got something, which is a whole lot better than nothing. And he built some good relationships with the people. He built good relationships with the people, which is the important key. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world, this is Jesus talking, the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. This is Jesus talking. The people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself, so that when it's gone, you are welcomed into eternal dwellings. What is the purpose of money? Purpose of money, magnify God with your life, make his name great, and relationships, make other people great. Use money to build relationships and make other people great. Use money to make friends for yourself, Jesus says, so you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Then Jesus says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? Notice, worldly wealth is not true riches, but you got to prove that you're trustworthy with the worldly wealth. And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? Notice, you'll be given property. Not that you worked for it or toiled for it. You'll be given property. By who? By God. When you show to him that you are trustworthy, what does it mean to be trustworthy? You do what you say you're going to do. You promise something, you deliver it. You do what you say you're going to do. You do it on time. You do it in a timely fashion. You're knowledgeable. You have good intentions for people. You do the right thing when nobody's looking. If you're trustworthy with that, God will give you property of your own. Then Jesus says, here it is again. No one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So the Pharisees, who loved money, notice they were in love with the money, not with relationships and people, heard all of this and were sneering at Jesus. And he said to them, you are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of others, but God knows your hearts. It's supposed to be God who justifies us. What people value highly is detestable in God's sight. So like I said, we see two different systems, striving after money. And when money is your main focus, It's all about what you do. It's all about what you can do, what you can learn, what you can earn, your toil, your work. And it's often people willing to put other people down and to hurt other people in order to go higher. God's way is to seek first the kingdom of heaven. Focus on him. Focus on his plan for your life. Magnify him with your life. And use money to make friends. Use money to build relationships. Use money to make other people great. Two different systems. And as your money grows, one of those is going to get magnified more and more. Question is, which one? So I think we're going to be, as we take communion today, we're going to be receiving this promise here. Jesus says, I tell you, the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself so that when it's gone, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. So communion is an opportunity to just receive some promises from God. All the promises in Christ are yes and amen. Today we're going to be believing we receive that God is the source, that when we seek him, we seek first the kingdom of heaven, that he adds these things to us. Not from our stress and our toiling. He adds them to us. Our role is to be trustworthy and to focus on magnifying him and making other people great in our lives. It's about the relationships. As we take communion, it's just this opportunity to meditate on the sacrifice of Jesus, that his sacrifice made all this possible for us. To have this covenant relationship with God where we can know him, we can know Jesus. We can meditate on his just steadfast, unfailing love. He was willing in his love to send his one and only son for us. And if he would do that, how would he not freely give us all things? That's an important thing to meditate on, I think, is just his love for us. His desire to add these things to our lives and him be the source of it rather than us be the source of it. Because that comes with pride. That he would be the source, that he would add these things to our lives, the perfect things that we need at the perfect time. I call them beautiful solutions. When God begins to add things to your life, it's the perfect thing that you need at the perfect time. It doesn't come with side effects. He has the perfect things to your life at the perfect time. It's also just an opportunity for us to just meditate on just the truth that nothing is impossible with God. To meditate on his mighty works. And you put those two things together, how much he loves you and that nothing is impossible for him. You put those two things together and you meditate on that. It leads, I believe, to hearts that understand. And we understand his grace. And Colossians 1:6 says, the gospel bears fruit in your lives ever since the day you understood God's grace. That he's working continually for your good. And that nothing is impossible for him. He loved us so much, he was willing to send Jesus. When we were not even, says we were still enemies against God, enemies in our own minds, he was willing to do that for us. How much more will he do now? How will he not freely give us all things? That's Romans chapter 8. It says in Timothy, he gives us all things richly for our enjoyment, to enjoy. Ecclesiastes says that God gives people the power, he gives wisdom and wealth and happiness and the power to enjoy them. Some people don't have that power to enjoy them. They get all the stuff, but they don't enjoy it. He gives us the power to enjoy it as well. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this bread, what it represents. We ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. We thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, this is the cup of the new covenant. In my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many. It's the forgiveness of sins that releases us from the darkness transfers us into the light. We have this new way of living. We have a covenant relationship with God, where he's made the commitment to give us his steadfast love, to be with us and for us, to never leave us or forsake us. He's poured out everything he has for us in Christ. We have this opportunity to have this relationship with him, where we can seek him. We can focus on our relationship with him. And then simply trust that he's going to add the things that we need to our lives, rather than us having to seek after those things. We can seek him and grow in our relationship with him. And I believe it's going to lead to not only hearts that understand, but it's going to lead to knowing him, to this personal relationship with him. And Jesus said in John 17:3, this is eternal life, that they would know you, God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. I believe as you seek God and he begins to add these things to your life, and you begin to see all the good things that he wants to do for you in your life, that he's good. He's got a good plan for your life, and he knows how to add these things to your life in the perfect way. I believe you'll be overwhelmed in many ways by how much he wants to do for you. And it's going to grow in your knowledge of him. You're going to grow in your relationship with him. You're going to know his heart. And that is eternal life, Jesus says. And then letting that flow through you to give other people that same love, that same grace, that same forgiveness, that same goodness that God has given you, letting that flow through you to do the same for others. And then you become rich in the true sense. You are rich on the inside and in your relationship with God, and you're rich in your relationships with people. And that's the true wealth. But we're going to take our cup here. Father, we just thank you for this cup and what it represents. In Jesus' name, if you have your juice, you can take your juice. All right. So now it's simply about walking it out. But the key thing here, notice Jesus talked about trustworthiness. The key thing is, and this is the sticking point for most people, is trust. We talk about money. What's it say on the back of our money in the United States? In God we trust. The key point is trust. In order for us to truly seek after God and to seek to magnify him, we have to put our trust in him, that he is going to add those things to us. And he wants to prove his trustworthiness to us. Because often we begin to seek after him. And then we worry, how are we going to make this all happen? You know, we get insecure. We worry about getting everything done, getting the bills paid. What are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? All these things. And that's where this simple trust comes in. I believe God wants to prove his trustworthiness to you. He's going to take care of you. He's got it. You keep focused on him. He will keep navigating you through. And you put your trust in him. I think that's how you grow in this. We got to get to this place where not only we believe in him, but we trust in him. He has good intentions for our lives. He has good plans for our lives. One of the simple requirements of faith, Hebrews, I think it's 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that what? He's a rewarder. He wants to do good for you. He's a rewarder of those who seek him. He wants to do good for you, but he wants you to do it his way. And that's for seeking him first and trusting him to open the doors and add the things to your life that you need and desire even at the perfect time, rather than chasing after all this other stuff over here. But I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.